Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
John chapter 5, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures and let you be seated. In John 5 and 39, Jesus was talking to the people in that day, and he just gave them a point of reference: search the scripture. Now he's talking about the law and the prophets. That's what he's talking about. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In other words, he's saying those scriptures that you believe have eternal life, they testify of me. In 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, Paul said to Timothy, from a child you have known the holy scriptures. He was referring to the same scriptures Jesus was talking about, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So Paul tells Timothy, the scriptures that you have grown up on, Moses and the prophets and the law, all those things, he said, those scriptures can teach you about salvation through Christ. That's all they had. They didn't have the Gospels. Then he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So tonight, I'm going to talk about this thought, search the scriptures, and our subject tonight will be baptism. It'll be baptism. So let's pray together, ask God to help us hear what the Spirit is saying to us and to learn these scriptures tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the light that it gives us, for the understanding, for the revelation. Thank you for the faith that it builds. And God, we just love your word. We love you and ask you to help us tonight to hear what you're saying, to stand on your word, to believe your word tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give a hand clap to the Lord tonight. He's great and greatly to be praised. God is good. You may be seated. God bless you. And I'll try to, like I said, to go right in and just see what the Lord says to us in this thing tonight. So if all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that means any scripture concerning baptism was given by inspiration of God. For any subject that's in scripture, it was given by inspiration of God. And so all scripture concerning baptism is by inspiration of God. All scripture concerning baptism is profitable for doctrine. Baptism is part of our doctrine. All scripture that is given by God concerning baptism is good for reproof. In other words, to tell somebody that's not what you want to be doing. All scripture that is given by the inspiration of God concerning baptism is good for correction. That word correction doesn't mean a scolding. Sometimes people need a course correction. They love God. They love serving God. But they're just a little bit off, and they're missing something. And God said the scripture can correct your path. It can correct your walk. It can correct your destination. So that you can walk right. The Bible teaches us that we should examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And if we're not, faith comes by the word and hearing of the word. So we use the word to correct our path. And also, all scripture is given by inspiration of God concerning baptism. It is good for instruction in righteousness. So I taught a lesson a few weeks ago concerning search the scriptures, and we talked about what the scripture says about who Jesus is. And what I said then, I will say here. You can search the internet, you can go to the library, you can read all the books that have been written, listen to a multitude of podcasts, and all these will have various opinions about salvation, who Jesus is, and what we're going to discuss tonight, baptism. But the true record of baptism, just like the true record of Jesus, will be found in Scripture. Baptism is not a world thing, it is a God thing. It is a word thing, it is a Scripture thing. And so there is no truer word than God's word. So what God's word says about baptism is what and is only what we can stand on. That should get some amens. Amen. If God's word is true and everything that God's ways are perfect, and so if anything that God's word says about baptism, that's what we stand on. For we live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. We stand on his word. We are built on his word. So the true record of baptism will be found in Scripture. I do not have to look outside the Bible to find out what is true about baptism or to understand what baptism means to the Christian. The most popular world views of baptism are that it isn't necessary for salvation, that baptism is simply an outward sign of an inward faith, that it is a declaration of sorts, but it has no bearing on your salvation, but that is false. And Scripture will bear that out. If you read the Scripture, you will see that that is a false statement and a false view. That's why those Scriptures are good for correction. It can help people see, no, I do need baptism in my life. Also, the other thing is that the way that we are to be baptized is different in the worldview. There are some denominations who believe that you can just be sprinkled, but that is not biblical baptism. There's no Scripture for sprinkling people with a little water and saying they've been baptized. The other thing is that they want to tell you that you need to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, but that is not biblical either, because no one in this Bible was ever baptized using the phrase in the name of the Father or in the Son or in the Holy Ghost. So the Old Testament is what Jesus and Paul were writing about when they said, when they were referring to Scripture. Scripture testifies of Jesus. Eternal life is in him. Eternal life is in the Scripture. Paul was telling that same thing to Timothy. You've known the Scriptures from a child that make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 and 1 lets us know that the law, the Old Testament, having a shadow of good things to come, but it was not the very image of the things. There are types and shadows and metaphors that you will find in the Old Testament that are pointing to Christ, because everything is fulfilled in him and we are complete in him and the things that concern him. But we can find instances that will help us, as it did with Paul, as it did with Timothy, as it would do with Peter and different ones, that there are Old Testament Scriptures that they have read, that they grew up reading, that spoke to them in a mystery through the prophets and all these prophecies. But then when Jesus came, he opened their eyes. Before he left this world, it says he opened their understanding, and they begin to understand a lot more about what they had been reading all their life, these prophets and Moses and the law. And now all of a sudden they realize they were always talking about Jesus. They were pointing them to Christ. But here's what, where we will get to it, just a couple of instances, what as Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, he said this in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. He's going to reference an Old Testament shadow of baptism. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant of how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He said that was a shadow, a type of baptism. He said that our fathers were baptized unto Moses under the cloud and in the midst of the sea. You will read about this in Exodus chapter 14, when the children of Israel were crying out because Pharaoh's army was coming down upon them. And Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord told him what to say. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." I've taught this many times, but the word salvation there is Yeshua, which is the Aramaic form of Jesus. It is what you would have called him if you lived there in that day. You would have called him Yeshua. And because if you were from that nation, that's what you would speak. And so you would have called him Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. So what Moses said was, fear not, stand still and see the Yeshua of the Lord. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. He was telling them that as you go through the midst of this water, this is the salvation of the Lord. And what it will do is what baptism does for us. It's going to close up on these things and these people who enslaved you, and you will not see them again. They will be done away with. When we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, if you were Aramaic, if you were baptized in his name, that is salvation. And when we are buried in his name in that water, it is for the remission of sins, for the things that have enslaved us, and now we will see them again no more. When you go down in that water, when you come up, it's a clean slate with him. You are still flesh and blood, and you can have many problems just like Israel did once they got to the other side of the Red Sea. But those things that were chasing you, that were behind you, are gone forever. God's not going to remember that against you. And so that's what he was telling them. And it says that Israel went into the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. They were in the midst of the water. That was a type of baptism. And Paul understood that this was also a shadow of what would happen when people were baptized in the name of Jesus, which is salvation for us. Well, there is no other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. All right, so Peter wants to get in on this as well. And he wants to write to the people and remind them that in 1 Peter 3 and chapter 20, he brings up an older story, the story of Noah. And he begins to talk about the disobedient spirits that in the long suffering of God, while God was waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, he said, wherein few, that is eight souls, that was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their daughters, those eight souls were saved by water. Now, we give a lot of credit to the ark, but the Lord said they were actually saved by the water, because if the ark was there and there was no water, the wickedness would still abound. Because he said the earth at that time was full of wickedness. Men's intentions were only to do wickedness. It was evil, wicked, and God was sorry that he even made man. And he said, I'm going to wash away all of that. That's what he says in Genesis chapter 6. He said, I do bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy all flesh. I'm going to wash away the wickedness of the world. But Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He believed God, and he did all that God commanded him. And because he did that, he did what God commanded him, his family were saved by the flood, by the water. God would tell Noah in the very next verse, he would say, I am making a covenant with you and with your family. And we know that baptism is part of the new covenant that we are under at this time, where we can go into that water and the wickedness and the evilness, the sin in our life can be washed away. And the whole earth was covered. Man is made by earth. We were formed from the dust of the earth. And he's given us a type, a shadow, that I'm going to cover completely the earth. And once the water began to recede, the earth, fresh and clean, no more of those, the evil, wicked people that were there, they were all gone. And the earth began to come up out of the water, and you could see it, and it was all new. And only the things that had been in the ark were saved, because that water destroyed everything that would kill them. Again, that doesn't mean that there weren't going to be some problems. We know Noah had some problems after that, but at that time, that saved him from the destruction that was coming on the earth. So these are the things that Paul would reference when he was talking to Timothy. These scriptures make you wise unto salvation through Christ. These are the scriptures that Jesus said, the scriptures testify of me. that I am that eternal life. Those Old Testament scriptures, they're talking about me. They were pointing us to him. So these two examples of Old Testament scripture taught Paul, taught Peter, taught Timothy about baptism and about salvation. And we could go to others, but we've got two witnesses there. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let's just let it be established, because we're going to move on to some other things. These are, the scripture says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So not just the New Testament apostles we read about, but the Old Testament prophets. We are built on the foundation. But the scripture says there is only one foundation. They were building on the same, they were laying the same foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we are built on the foundation, not the foundations, but the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What the prophets spoke in a mystery, the apostles began to preach in a revelation to give us understanding. What was a mystery to them is revealed in the doctrine of the apostles. And it's very important, the wording here in 1 Corinthians 3:11. I don't even think I gave you that scripture, but he says, for other foundation can no man lay. In other words, nobody can come along now and lay another foundation that will be relevant. He said the only one that is relevant is the one that has been laid, that's already existing, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, for us, Scripture, because we talk about searching the Scripture, we have other Scripture that Paul and Timothy and Peter, that they did not have, because the Gospels did not exist at that time, and they had not finished or writing their letters at that time. So we have other Scripture to help us understand. We have the Gospels, we have the book of Acts, and we have the letters that were written to the churches. And so now we will search the Scriptures to see what the Bible says about baptism. Is this all right so far? Is it helping you out? I hope it is. All right, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13, I'm going to start there. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, there are some points to make here. In verse 15, Jesus tells John, listen, I know what you're saying, because John says, hey, I need you to baptize me. He said, I know what you're saying, but let's just let it be so for now, because this is how it is. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. Jesus, referring to his baptism, said, this is what will fulfill righteousness. Now, we read earlier in the scripture that Paul wrote that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is good for instruction in righteousness. So again, all scripture concerning baptism that is given by the inspiration of God is good for instruction in righteousness. Jesus was saying that this will fulfill righteousness. What will? Me and you going into this water and you baptizing me will fulfill righteousness. Verse 16, Jesus was baptized. Can I tell you that the scripture teaches us that the servant is not greater than his master? Why would Jesus go into the water to be baptized and say this is a fulfilling of righteousness, and then we think today that we can follow him but not follow him to the water? I'm telling you, this is what the scripture says about baptism. Now, in verse 17, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is why Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:21, that it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God that you have done. What when Jesus went into that water, when he went ahead and said, I know John, let's go do this, let's fulfill the righteousness, God saw that and was pleased with him doing the things that it takes to be right, even though he was without sin, but he was setting the example. And he said, his baptism here and this Spirit lighting upon him, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, we are the sons and daughters of God. And it pleases God when we go down in the water in his name and our sins are remitted. That is so we can have a good conscience toward God, that we know we have done things that are pleasing to the Savior, to the Lord God, our King. Now, we can go to another example in Scripture of baptism. In John 3 and 5, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot do it. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, either he means that or he don't. You know, is he just saying stuff to make conversation late at night with Nicodemus, or is he telling him this is what it takes? He said, you have to be born again. He wanted to know how. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It won't happen. Now, a lot of people have tried to say, the world, a lot of denominations will say, he was talking about the first time you're born, that the water he is speaking of is the water that we talk about when a woman's water breaks when she is about to have a baby. However, that word water does not translate to that. That word water there is the same word that he uses in John chapter 4 when he's talking about the water that the woman's drawing to drink and the water he would give her. He's talking about water that you would drink or water that you would bathe in, water that you would use for your garden. He's not talking about the fluid that breaks when a woman is about to give birth. So that's, in any way, he said, be born again. And we've already experienced that birth, and that's the birth of flesh. But the spiritual birth is being born of water, which is baptism, and then being filled with his Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost. So Jesus said we must be baptized. That's what he's saying. Except a man is baptized in water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Don't shoot the messenger. This is what the Lord said. We know that in Matthew 28 and 19, he said, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. We're not contradicting ourselves. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but I'm just showing you all the scriptures that are concerning baptism, and that was when he was talking, giving them their great commission. In Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16, and Jesus said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, believes what? Believes the gospel, believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He that believes the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. There's no other interpretation for that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So he's telling them, go into all the world, preach the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So we need the death, burial, resurrection. We need that preached to us. And when we believe that, and are baptized, he said, we shall be saved. The Great Commission, as recorded in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning at among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So when did they do that? Because that's the end of the Gospels, the commissions that God gives, that Jesus gives his people. That's the end of the great commissions that we read about. Those are the things he said to do. And they can't all mean different things. They have to all come into agreement. They have to all come into alignment. Whatever was said in the Gospels has to come into alignment with what the disciples and the apostles preached after Jesus was ascended into heaven, after he gave them their marching orders. Whatever they're going to preach after that, it has to line up with the Gospels. The gospel has to line up with that. And so even though there are different, it looks like it's different accounts, there's actually fitting together to give the fullness of the picture. That's what we're reading here. And so so when we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 5, it says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." Remember in Luke 24 and 47, "Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name among all nations, devout men from every nation under heaven, beginning at Jerusalem." And they were in Jerusalem. So now the stage is set to fulfill. Jesus has laid it out perfect. He knew this is exactly when and where all these nations would be there, that they would be in Jerusalem. And so when they got to Jerusalem, what did Peter say? He preached a message. And in verse 36, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, and to the rest of the apostles, what shall we do?" What do we do now? Then Peter is going to finish telling them exactly what Jesus said to do. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." That's his name. So now we've got devout men from every nation. We're in Jerusalem. He's preaching in his name. What is he preaching in his name? "Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So Peter tells them, every one of you. There's no, "Hey, I believe what you said, Peter. Man, I'm happy now. I'm just going to go on my way." He said, "If you have believed this, if you have asked this question, I'm telling you, every one of you, if you want remission of sins, then you will be baptized in Jesus' name, or you won't have remission of sins. You cannot get rid. There is nothing. You can't believe hard enough to make your sins go away. It won't happen because it's not Bible. You're trying to be, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. If you follow that false doctrine, you'll go straight to death. But there is a way that is the scripture. We're simply reading the Bible here. No crazy interpretations, just reading what he said to do. And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." He was talking to the mother of Jesus, because she was one of the 120 that was there, and she was in Jerusalem. He was talking to the rest of the disciples that had followed him for 3 years. He was talking to all these holy men. He was talking to all these people that had believed. He was saying, every one of you, myself included, we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's how it happens. That's where it comes to pass. That is the Yeshua of the Lord. That is the salvation of the Lord. That's how it happens. And so he said in verse 41, look what it says. "And then they that gladly received his word were baptized." There was no, "Hey, I like that message, but nah, that water ain't for me." Uh-uh. Everyone that received the message that was preached that day said, "That's what I need to do. That's what I need in my life." And they said they were baptized, and they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You know, tell me if it wasn't real, if it wasn't something we had to do, that out of those 3,000 people, somebody wouldn't have said, I'm scared of water, and I just don't want to do that, and I believe, and that'll be good enough. No, he obeyed the gospel. It's because the baptism is not just a ceremony. The baptism is equivalent to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is part of the gospel. It is where we are buried at, and we must be buried in his name. So, and then verse 42, he said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." The apostles' doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. They were just going by the scripture. Peter had only preached from the scripture. He had preached Christ from the prophets. He had preached from Joel. He had preached from the Psalms. He had preached all these things concerning Christ from the Old Testament. And in verse 36, they couldn't take it anymore when they realized we have crucified the Lord and Christ. And then they were pricked in their heart and knew we've got to do something about this. Well, what did Peter tell them to do? Be baptized. This is what the scripture says about baptism. It never says it's a thing for families to gather at. It's a ceremony. It's just something so you can get a certificate. It's just so you can let the world know that you're following him. That's not what it's about. Baptism is for the remission of sin. You cannot scrub off this curse of sin that you were born under. You have to be baptized in his name. The Bible says, how can a young man cleanse his way? And it says, by taking heed to God's word. That's why the scripture tells us we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, the word of God. Because being born again is being born of water and of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says about baptism. In Acts chapter 8, you're going to read about believers. Because everybody says, I'm a believer. Well, that's great. Well, if you're a believer, you ought to do something about it. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 says, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Let's just stop right there. If he's preaching things concerning the kingdom of God, then he is preaching baptism, because except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So being born of water is a kingdom of God thing. And it says, when they believed him and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When they believed the preacher, what was he preaching? He was preaching things concerning the kingdom of God. Well, you can't enter into the kingdom of God without new birth. So you know he's preaching about new birth. He's preaching the things concerning Jesus Christ. And when they believed that, they didn't say, good sermon, way to go, that's awesome. Can I sign up and be part of the church? He said, nope, you got to be baptized. And they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon believed also, and he was baptized and continued with Philip and wondered, watching the miracles and signs that were done. Now, when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, how did they know they had received the word of God? When they heard they were being baptized. When they heard that they loved the word and they loved the things concerning Jesus Christ, and they heard that they had been baptized. And so that's how they knew they had received the word. They sent Peter and John down to there and said, when they came, they prayed for him that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Baptized how? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. In Acts chapter 9, you're going to read about Paul's conversion, and in verse 9 and 18, it tells us that Paul was baptized. After he got up, he arose and he was baptized. When he tells this story, recounts his conversion in Acts chapter 22 and 16, he says that he was baptized washing away his sins. Be baptized to wash away your sin. Again, you can't believe. There ain't a prayer you can pray that can wash your sins away. You have to be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He was baptized in the name of the Lord, just like the rest of them. So why would people think Paul, who found salvation through baptism in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost, why would they think that he has changed and said, but you don't have to do that? He didn't. The letter that he wrote in Romans was not to the sinner on the street, not to the unconverted, not to the unchurched. It was to the saints at Rome, and he was reminding them and encouraging them in things they had already experienced. Praise God. I know I told you it's a lot of scripture, but we're searching the scripture. What does the Bible say? Not what anybody else says, not what the Nicene Council said about things. None of that. What does the Bible say about baptism? And this is what it says. Acts chapter 10, we're going to find Peter going into the house of Cornelius. He was a soldier. He was from the Italian band. These Italians were getting in on it now. I'm glad. I got some Italian in me, so I'm glad these Italians are making it in. Acts chapter 10 and verse 6. the angel of the Lord told Cornelius, you send for Simon. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Now listen, Peter is going to tell you what you ought to do. That's very important, that if an angel from heaven says, okay, this guy's going to tell you what you ought to do, you need to be listening to the man who's preaching to you. So when Peter gets there, in verse 43, he was talking about Christ, preaching about Christ. He said, to Christ give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Because if you believe and are baptized, baptism in his name is for remission of sins. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard it. They of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Well, if they got the Holy Ghost, why do they got to be baptized? Because even receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost does not remit your sin. It just doesn't remit your sin. It doesn't do it. If it did, there's no need for them to be baptized. But he said, now that they have been filled with God's Spirit and they are his, they need to be cleansed. And so he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That's what he did. And Peter was telling them what they ought to do. This is what you ought to do. And so this is what our loved ones and our friends and our family and everybody in this world, that's what they ought to do. They ought to believe the gospel and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So anything preached by the apostles in Acts, it must line up with the Great Commission given in the gospel. Baptism must also line up with what it says in Scripture. And so when we look in the book of Ephesians, and I'm not much longer, I think I'm going to come out all right. Ephesians 4 and 5, Paul wrote this to the church. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one. So that means anything that's said in the Gospels concerning baptism must funnel into one. It must be reconciled in one because it can't be others. It has to mean one of them's got either one of them's wrong, one of them's right, or all of them mean the same thing. And it doesn't mean you can say it. You've got to do it again through the Scripture, through the book of Acts. You'll never find anybody baptized in any way but in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how they were baptized. So one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord. Well, who's the Lord? Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We know he's the Lord, and we know that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know that the one Lord is Jesus. There is one faith. And I don't know if I gave you 2 Timothy 3:15, but let me look at that. 2 Timothy 3:15. Yeah, that was in the beginning. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So there's one faith, and that faith is in Christ Jesus. There's one Lord that is Christ Jesus. There's one faith that is in Christ Jesus. There is one baptism. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That means Matthew 28:19 has to reconcile into that. If that scripture actually existed, there are some arguments that in the original text that Matthew wrote that it's not even in there, that it's not written like that, that it actually says in the name of the Lord. But they think that people added it later. But it doesn't even matter, because even if somebody put it in there to try to mess things up, all they did was confirm what we know already, that it's in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say names. He said name. Jesus said more than once, I and my Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Isaiah prophesied and said that there would be a child born, a son given. He would be called the Everlasting Father. We would know the son that was born. The child given is Jesus. And he would be called the Everlasting Father. I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We know that he is the Son. Matthew chapter 1, the prophecy was, the angel spoke the prophecy that would be fulfilled, that a virgin would give forth, would give birth to a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, interpreted God with us. And then she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. We know that he is the Son. And now the Holy Ghost. Did I give you Romans 8 and 9? Yes, let's throw that up there. He said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Is he talking about two spirits? Is there a Spirit of God and a Spirit of Christ? I'm going to show you that there's not, because Ephesians 4 and 4 says this, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. The scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So when he says the Spirit of God dwells in you, and then without the Spirit of Christ you're none of his, he's talking about the same Spirit, because there is only one Spirit. Jesus said it, God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's hard to worship God in truth if you don't know his name, but I know his name. And so when we say that the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost is all in Jesus, we're not making that up. That's the scripture. There is only one name. There's only one given that can save us, and it is his name. Yeshua. Jesus. Yahweh saves. It's in him. So did the apostles ever baptize anyone in these titles? No. And you can search the scripture to prove that. But did they baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes. Because you can search the scripture and you can find that. I could make a deal with you right now that I would give you every dollar I'll make for the rest of my life if you could show me where anybody in the Bible was baptized in the name of the Father, or the Son, or the Holy Ghost, and I wouldn't ever have to worry about losing that bet, because it don't exist. And I can search the scripture and find out what I need to know about baptism. I don't need anybody else's book. Praise God. All the fullness, look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He said, Paul said to the saints of God, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's saying, if you see him, you see it all. It's all in him. It's all in him. Yeah. It's all in him. Praise God. He said, beware. Don't be spoiled by men, by their pamphlets, by their books, by their papers, by their blogs, by their posts, by their memes. I don't care what kind of degree they've got. Once they get out of this book, that degree don't mean nothing. Once you get out of this book, your post, your meme, your blog, it don't mean nothing. It's in this book where our salvation is. It's in this book where our life is. It's in this book. And I'm doing all right. I think I'm about to get ready to calm it down now. And somebody said, whew, that's a lot of scripture. This man's done about melted my brain in here tonight, talked about all this stuff. But it all comes down to, what does the scripture say? Because you're going to have family and friends and people that will tell you, oh, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But you know why they say that? Because they've never read the scripture. I had a man one time at my job. He said, you believe you got to be baptized to be saved? I said, absolutely. He just laughed right in my face. He said, man, that's stupid. He said, where do you get stuff like that? I said, have you ever read 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21? He said, what's it say? And I told him. And he just looked like, he didn't say nothing. Well, nothing he could say. I said, what about Mark 16 and 16? What did Jesus say? Oh, that ain't what he meant. Oh, the Lord don't know what he's talking about. Okay. Bye. Romans 6. And I'm coming in for a landing, so if the music wants to come, Romans chapter 6. This is what Paul, because everybody loves the Romans road to salvation, but they keep forgetting to get off at this exit. This is better than Bucky's. Paul said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Well, you know, grace makes everything all right. We don't have to ever pray again. We were under his grace, and grace plus nothing, and I'm going to heaven. And shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Baptism is not for show. It's not just a declaration to the world. Your baptism is between you and God. This is the reckoning. This is the purchasing. This is redemption. We were redeemed. We are purchased with the precious blood of Christ. It's the only thing that can wash sin away, that can remit sin. And this is, God, I believe in who you are. And I believe that you died and rose from the dead. That's my confession. I believe the gospel, and now I must obey the gospel. You know, the scripture asks the question, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? I just thought I had to believe it. Well, you do, but you also have to obey it. And to obey it is to be in the likeness of his death. We die through repentance. We die to our old life, and then we're buried. Therefore, we are buried with him. With who? With him. Not them. With him. We are buried with him by baptism into death. That's what baptism does. It buries you with Christ. That's how you become a new creature. The scripture says, except a man be in Christ, he's got to be in Christ to be a new creature. So how do I get in Christ? I am buried with him. I am baptized into him. I am baptized into Jesus Christ. You can't be a new creature without baptism. Sorry. It can't happen, because that's the only way in. We've got to come in through the door. Who's the door? He's the door. Praise God. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, verse 5 to me is so very important because of the if that's in verse 5. For if we have been planted. Now, that word planted, it means closely united to. So if I am united with him in the likeness of his death, and so if I am buried in this grave, if I am in the likeness of his death, then I shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. But if I skip the burial, I'll miss the resurrection. Hello? And is that not what he just said? Is that not what he wrote? And remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So any scripture given by inspiration of God concerning baptism is profitable for our doctrine, reproof, correction, or instruction in righteousness. For if we have been planted together in his likeness, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so if you search the scripture, you can stand with me. If you search the scripture, you will find out these two very important things: that baptism is necessary for salvation. There's no argument that it's necessary for salvation, and that it is always done in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what I find out about baptism when I search the scripture. Now, for people who say, well, I just I gotta look up some stuff. Okay, I'm gonna now step away for a second and read you some things. If you were to look in the Encyclopedia Britannica, in their 11th edition, volume 3, pages 365 and 366, this is what you would find about baptism. The baptismal formula was changed from the name of Jesus Christ to the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by the Catholic Church in the 2nd century. On volume 3, page 82, everywhere in the oldest sources, it states that baptism took place in the name of Jesus Christ. In the Canon Encyclopedia of Religion, the early church always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until the development of the Trinity doctrine in the 2nd century. So until men, philosophies, tradition of men, vain deceit, till they got involved, it was always in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hastings Encyclopedia of Religion, the Christian baptism was administered using the name of Jesus. The use of the Trinitarian formula of any sort was not suggested in early church history. Baptism was always in the name of the Lord Jesus until the time of Justin Martyr, when the Trinity formula was used. And I could go on and on with these things, but see, this is what I'm telling you. Even the history books record that man got involved and changed what Scripture says about baptism. And so I want to be baptized the way Jesus said to be baptized, not the way the world said to be baptized. I want to be baptized according to this book, according to the Scripture. So when you search the Scriptures, that's what you'll find out about baptism. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.